The soundtrack to your teaching career. Teacher Hug Radio.
And we're very excited on the breakfast show this morning to have Shahana Knight with us. Morning.
Morning. Hello. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, it's so lovely to have you here. The project you're doing is so cool. I'm so excited by it. And I really wanted to bring it to Teacher Hug listeners and get lots more people looking at it and taking ideas from it and critiquing it and all the rest of it. And it's a... I want to say you're like the Anna Ryder Richardson of education now. Does that mean anything to you?
It doesn't. You'll have to explain.
Okay, so she did changing rooms back in the 80s, right? And the early 90s.
It fits.
Yeah, there you go. You're doing classroom makeovers, but it's so much more than just that. Talk us through it. You're working with a primary school that I know really well, Shevington Vale Primary School in Wigan, right? Mm-hmm. And they're a brilliant school. They're not in any disastrous situation that needs rescuing. They're doing fantastically. But you felt, and the head teacher, Andy Houghton, felt that there was something more that you could be doing. Talk us through the inception of the project.
Yeah. So what we do is we work with schools to help them become more therapeutic. So that's kind of where it stemmed from. So we look at what they're already doing and how they're supporting sort of the mental health and well-being of their children. And we look at that across the board. So children who maybe have struggled with trauma, and for those schools in sort of more deprived areas, that's going to be a real sort of focus for them, because obviously then the children are struggling with behaviour, they're struggling with attainment and just generally their well-being and their mental health and their social skills and things. But then also across the whole board, and sort of looking at education and saying, well, what is not working and what do we need to change so that we can really put mental health and well-being at the core of everything we do in education, with this idea, and you know, this very real idea, that children cannot learn, and children physically cannot learn, the brain won't allow it, unless they're able to feel safe and secure, and unless they feel like they're emotionally secure. And that's what we want to help schools to do. So Shevington Vale actually came on board to our therapeutic schools program. So it's an award that you can do with us. And they then did all of our training modules, where we sort of do this step-by-step graduated program where we say, look, this is what trauma is, this is what mental health is, and this is how it applies to your children in your classroom. And we look at all of those things that, you know, come up time and time again, like fight, flight, freeze. We look at survival brain. You know, we look at what happens to children when they've got high levels of stress in their body. We look at that across the board again for very vulnerable children. And then all the way through to just, you know, you're a child who maybe has a really secure background and secure upbringing, but still has to understand about their own mental health, still will go into fight, flight, freeze. They still will struggle with their feelings.
Everyone has bad days, right?
Totally. Everyone has feelings, and our feelings can hijack how we feel, and our feelings can get in the way of the things that we've got to do, especially at school. So it's looking at that and saying, okay, how do we navigate this as a school? So we look at loads, we look at attachment, we look at therapeutic language, how you speak to children so that they can get out of their survival brain and into their rational brain, and then start to actually learn from the situation. How do we reframe behaviour and say, right, well, here's a behaviour incident. Well, what can we do with this incident to actually teach the child? Not just stop the behaviour incident, but actually teach this child how they can manage this scenario again in the future and learn from it. Why have they, you know, got so cross? Why are they frustrated? Why are they feeling like they can't get on with this peer group, and really upskill that child? So we do loads of work around this, and part of that is looking at the environment. So part of the module, one of the modules, is around environments. And again, I mean, everything we do is completely rips apart education and says, look, we really need to start again. And it's always about trying to change perceptions, and we're quite innovative in what we do. But the environments one is the one that people go, oh, I'm not sure how I feel about this. And it's a real sort of, it's a funny session, because people get super inspired by it, and they're like, right, we're going to do this, we're going to change things, you know, because it's visual. And when something's visual, it hooks you in a lot more than, you know, something that you've got to kind of take time on, and maybe isn't quite as visual for children. You know, internal stuff is harder to see than your environment stuff. And so people get excited about it, but then we also have some schools that are like, oh, I'm not sure. So as Andy was going through this process at Shevington Vale, And we're doing this with lots of different schools. I just had such a frustration because I don't own a school. So I can't create a therapeutic school visually and say, look, this is how we do it. And so lots of schools were doing our award and lots of schools were changing their environments. And there are parts of that that are essential that we would say, you know, you've got to have these things. And that's down to sort of lighting and, you know, we have lamps in classrooms instead of the main lights on. We have, we change the way the backboards are and actually recommend you don't really have backboards and all sorts of other things that schools can implement. And they can implement them in their own way. And some schools go quite far with it and other schools just, you know, stay quite safe with it. But always they have an impact. There's always a massive impact for the children. But there's never been a school that has been really brave and said, actually, we're going to get rid of tables and chairs. Like, we're going to go the full hog with this. So I approached Andy, who is, as you say, fantastic. You know, they're doing amazing things already at Sherrington Vale. His vision was aligned with the therapeutic approach anyway. And this just gave him more structure to be able to really embed that within the school and kind of gave them something that gave them a framework to follow as a whole school. And I went to him and I was like, right, Andy, I really want to do a whole classroom. Would you be open to me making over one of your rooms? But I'm talking about getting rid of tables and chairs and really completely changing the concept of what a classroom needs to be. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. Because he's got other areas in school he's already done this sort of thing with. And he's so creative, Andy. Like, he's got such a brilliant eye for what is a therapeutic room already.
Yeah.
So he jumped on board and he was like, yeah, let's do it. And at first I wanted to do it with year six because for me that feels like where there's probably most resistance in education, but Andy was not quite as brave to go through to year six, but so and said he'll do it with the year two, and I was like, that's too young. So we decided that we would do it with the year three classroom, and it's been an amazing project. But as you say, it's far more than just the visual classroom, and that's really important when you look at it, because you can get super excited about the fact that it looks great, but it is not just about the fact that it looks great.
Yeah, and that's often the danger, isn't it, that somebody sees it and thinks, oh, I'll just go down to IKEA with a few hundred quid and recreate that. But but actually it's much deeper. The planning was much more detailed. The teachers were really involved. The children had a huge voice in it, right? Throughout the whole process. And so what you've come up with is something that's really well thought out. It's not a blueprint for every classroom and every school, but it works perfectly for those children in that setting with those teachers.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right. Like, that's my fear with this, that somebody will go, oh, great, well, we'll do X, Y, and Z. But if you don't really know why you're doing it, it can't have the same impact for the children. And there's two parts of me with this, because I really do believe that this is something we should roll out across the UK and every school should have a version of this sort of room. I honestly believe that. And I get that not every school is going to do the training. Not every school is going to know, you know, the background, because when something gets that big, it's really hard to keep that purity of it. So part of me is aware that, you know, if I had the vision of, look, every school will do this, it's going to have varying degrees of what that means for each school. But then the other part of me is such a purist, and I'm like, no, but we really need to understand, you know, why are we redesigning these classrooms? What is the point of each part of it? And why is it so important? And again, like you said, like looking at the demographic of each school and saying, okay, so for this particular school, these aspects are really important because you've got children really struggling with trauma. Or these aspects are really important because, you know, for your class, there's a confidence issue, and just sort of tweaking it. But the theory and the planning and the knowledge is so important. And that all is underpinned by childhood trauma theory, attachment theory, and really good awareness of what mental health is and what we're trying to do for our children. That's at the core of all of this.
You see, I'd urge the listener to have a look at the video. I'll get you to signpost it at the end, but to have a look at the video and look at the longer video. It's about 45 minutes, but it gives you that background and it gives you that detailed planning, and then it reveals the visuals and you can see why the high stools set by the window make such a difference. You can see the dining table, you can, for group work and for discussion, you can see the comfy corners, and I think then it starts to really make sense because you've got the why behind it.
Absolutely.
I really love the blankets, and I was just trying to pick a couple of things that you could, you know, that would are immediately easy and cheap, and the blankets seemed such a lovely and simple idea. Talk me through why you decided to put blankets in the classroom.
Yeah, I love the blankets as well. So a lot of the work that we do is around understanding children sometimes have really difficult relationships with their families at home. And sometimes they don't feel very secure emotionally. And that is a really key factor in why a lot of children struggle to concentrate in the room, to flourish in the classroom, and to be really very present in the classroom, because they're in this survival state of just trying to get through, you know, and struggling to make real connections with people and real relationships with people. And there's this sense of being emotionally unsafe. And that comes from, you know, all sorts of experiences. And it can be, again, at varying degrees. For one child, feeling emotionally unsafe might be because they've been in a family where there's been domestic violence and, you know, they're constantly in a state of fear and they don't have that ability to go to somebody and give them a hug and to make them feel secure and safe again. It might also just be that they're part of a really big family and they have to share their attention with their caregiver quite a lot. And maybe their emotional needs are missed a little bit because the family's so big. One really easy way to help children to feel secure is to put blankets in the room. And again, it's around helping children to decrease those stress levels. So if you've got a child who comes in, they've got quite a lot of stress levels running around their body because things have been difficult at home, maybe that evening, maybe that morning, whatever the scenario is, might be that they're constantly in a state of stress and they're not feeling very secure. If we provide blankets in the room, and I'm talking clean, well looked after, good blankets, not just, you know, sort of your average blanket that gets a bit grotty and you know you don't really wash it very often. It needs to be really good quality stuff so the kids know that this is something that's for them and it's something that's been thought out and it feels good to be around that blanket. Otherwise, they're not even going to bother reaching for it. So we put in really nice, big, comfortable blankets, like throws you would find on your sofa at home. And we give the children the opportunity to just grab them whenever they want. So if you've got a child who's starting to feel a bit anxious, maybe they're feeling a bit unsafe, maybe they're not quite sure about the work, and that's triggering them to then feel a little bit like they're going into flight mode a little bit. They might actually leave the room, they might want to get away, you know, but actually they've got this blanket there. They can just pull the blanket on themselves, wrap themselves up in it, and it physically gives them that sense of security that they need. And it gives them the opportunity to look for a way to manage their own internal state through what's around and available in the classroom. So through that, the sensory, you know, the fact that they can wrap themselves up in it, maybe get themselves quite, you know, tight within that ball if they need to. They can have it on them so that it feels warmer. It's almost like when you give your adult a hug and it can reduce the stress levels for you, it makes you feel secure and safe again. They're given the opportunity to do that just with whatever's in the room. And blankets is a brilliant way to do that and to give them that feeling of security and safety that they might not have, that then is going to help them to learn and engage in learning.
Absolutely. Oh, brilliant. Shahana, it's just a perfect timing for this project that the, you know, I urge people to go and watch the video. How can they see the video? Where can they find it?
So it's on YouTube at the minute, on our YouTube page. I don't know from the top of my head what it is, but if you type in TPC therapy,
yeah,
then it'll come up and it's the first video on there. It's called Reinventing Classrooms.
And I think people are going to get an awful lot of ideas, and it can provoke a lot of thinking as well. I really love the reaction of the children who all talked about comfort and being comfortable and feeling safe. And then just brought back that memory for me of those blue chairs with the hole in them.
Oh,
and you know, and it suddenly struck me why children swing on chairs. They're stretching, they're uncomfortable. You know, there's so much in the environment that I think we miss, and we do a lot of training and a lot of staff development, but actually I love the disruption of what you're doing, because it's really getting people to question at the core whether it's the right environment for all children. I absolutely love it. So please go and see the video, go onto the TPC therapy website, have a look at what Shahana is doing. I think in my head I've got, you know, a TV series with you doing it for a secondary school.
Oh, I'd love that.
I think you need to pitch that. I think, honestly, I think it would be brilliant to maybe to do primary, a special, and a mainstream, and do a classroom makeover show. There you go.
I'd love to do that. We're just going to get the right people. Who do we go to?
Okay, right. Well, let's put it out to the listeners. and let me have a think as well. Maybe I can put you in touch with some people. That'd be good.
That sounds amazing.
Okay, look, so much. Thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for doing such an amazing thing. We urge the listeners to go and have a look at it. Thanks, Johanna.
Oh, thank you so much, Paul.
The soundtrack to your teaching career. Teacher Hug Radio.